Hi, my loves. This is your host, Carla, bringing stories of life experiences and of powerful lessons. Also sharing healing methods and topics of the natural and supernatural. Remember, you are the medicine. Do it as Lamedicina, Carla After Dark. Hi, guys. Thank you for tuning in with me, Carla After Dark. And I want to present to you guys my special guests who will be, wow, it's an experience to bring her as well. It's hilarious because we've come around in our friendship for a while. We have history, and I'm grateful that she's part of Carla After Dark, and she's a big supporter. And I'm super grateful about her energy coming into Carla After Dark team and realizing that she herself is going through her own healing path, that through this process of her healing, she's had many realizations. So I will introduce her, and her name is Jessica. How are you?
Hello, thanks for having me. Such a pleasure to be part of the team. I love coming on here and also listening to all your special guests that you have on and connecting with the people and hearing all different kinds of stories. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being open to be in this adventure, in this space, and between you and Steven, I'm super grateful. You guys are definitely a big support for me, juggling different things in my life and creating this. It's been a journey, and it's beautiful, and we learn through it, and itself in its own way has taught me other things about me. And I'm grateful that you are here to open about talk about your own healing path and relocating from Texas and bringing your whole family here. Also, we're going to discuss about your experience of your childhood and your experience with serving the military, being in the Navy, and now you're currently a veteran. And with that, you have a beautiful home, you have family, and how has this been for you, this journey about healing and discovering this version of yourself? So, how you doing again?
Yeah, so a little bit about me. I used to live here in Los Banos once upon a time, and I moved away, joined the military, and got married, and I was away for, I don't know, maybe like 15 years or so. Anyways, I'm back now, and I'm grateful to have reconnected back with my childhood friends and just the hometown, and everything's been amazing. It's worked out. It feels like this is exactly where I need to be. Of course, the journey's been beautiful, even when it's ugly. It's still beautiful to see the outcome, and having gone through different events in my life, which led to different better events in my life, such as fast forward to now, where I'm a part of your podcast, and I appreciate that. It's really been great meeting different people and starting new relationships in this journey along with them that they're living. But yeah, since we're on the topic of the healing process, the journey, I just wanted to start off and say it's been eye-opening to sit down in your chair and talk with you with your healing journey that you're on right now, and catching up and realizing that not everybody has the same story. Everybody has different walks in life. And we all use different methods to reconnect to like our true selves. In my personal journey, I've had PTSD from traumas that were both from military and before that. And so the way that I've coped and healed is I might have used different things. There's a lot of counseling and talking. But there's, of course, other methods. There's like medicine and different forms of healing available now. There's lots of therapies, and not everything works for everyone. But what I've discovered is having awareness, first and foremost, of where you're at. And then once you realize and accept what cards you've been dealt with is when you can decide how you want your future self to be, which is where we're at now. It's taken a lot of mindfulness, and along with plant medicine and meditation, I can honestly say I am in a place where I recognize where my mind's at. Yeah. You know, I can align my mind and my heart, which is hard to do when you're stuck, you know, when you feel like hopeless or just in that depressed state of being when you're in the, like, not in the healing process. You know, it's really hard to recognize and fix things because you don't realize what's going on. But once you realize what's going on, and you start falling in love with yourself and you start listening to you, you start breaking or fixing what's broken inside, and move forward, you can you can truly like move on and not look back. And it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And the journey process for me, the way I discovering, you know, the things that I needed to let go, first and foremost, I think, come to terms like accepting that I needed to self-heal, you know, accepting responsibility of my own journey, of my healing, the things that I had to face. It's not easy either. Like, we can, if you're new to the healing path or awakening of your own healing in this timeline and you're listening to this episode, it's to remind you that you're not alone, and it's not as easy as it sounds to get in that step of accepting and taking ownership. I'm in a place where I never thought I was going to be, like, living in peace in my, with myself, with being in my own home, which is my own vessel. My home is my vessel, this body, and being the headspace where I feel calm and I trust the universe. I trust God so much, like never before. Before, I was lived in so much fear and anxiety of the future, of the outcomes, not realizing that that's my fear was a lot of suppressed of insecurities, coming back to my own body, that I couldn't feel that calmness. And so when I would feel calm, like, I didn't know how to self-regulate my nervous system. I lived a lot of my childhood dissociating, and it was difficult for me to face things as an adult. And the easy way for me is to escape and dissociate. And that's all I knew. I didn't know. And there's many forms. I mean, even in this path, you can get lost in helping others and still neglecting yourself. Because mm-hmm. those are patterns.
Right.
And so when you are conscious, you are aware that you have to stay accountable with your self-care, with the love that you have for yourself, that you intentionally make time to connect with yourself and like doing some breath work. Or for me, my tools is that doing some self-observation, doing some drape to take me to a state of calmness. If I feel like I am a little agitated or blocked and I don't know how to process certain things at that moment, those are beautiful tools that I use. Eventually those tools you probably won't need, because you come to a place where you're slowly shedding more of old versions of yourself, mm-hmm. more and more. And so you're going to be able to let go of things and not get attached, if mm-hmm. that makes sense, to the stories that's happening in front of you. Because then you discover that you're a creator of your realities, right? So wherever you're at in the state of consciousness or a level of understanding, in better words, sometimes, you know, your healing is going to look different than mine. And that's part of the healing as well as process. And like, and I always encourage everybody, like, don't compare your healing mm-hmm. Journey with anybody else, because right. yours is looks different sometimes. Sometimes some of them are still in, I call it the cocoon stage. You know, you're inward. You're processing a lot of the reality. Like, wow, this is like amazing. I'm awake to my reality of understanding that I'm responsible of my healing. And sometimes I look back, you know, in other timelines of myself, and I always send her love and integrate her into this new timeline, because I realize those versions of myself, I thought that I knew that I was in control of my life, but I wasn't, because I would control my life and then dissociate, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't know how to handle when conflict will come, or when I would be extremely overwhelmed, and I would choose to escape through alcohol, shopping. It's a hard habit. There's a strong habits that we have. Strong habits that, you know, like, we don't know how to self-regulate. And so sometimes we use that to escape. And I didn't realize that. I noticed that huge in 2010. And sometimes I still catch it, like, recently too. Like, when sometimes I don't, my body's telling me. Once right. you scan your body, it's wild how you're like, know that you're having like a moment of anxiety, like you're mm-hmm. and you're ignoring it. So
yeah, that's when it's good to remind yourself that you have everything you need.
Yeah,
because I have to do that myself several times. It's like, you know, the reality is I do have everything I need.
For your journey of your healing path, you want to discuss a little bit how it brought you to a space where you understood that there was things that you needed to let go. If you want to share any kind of particular yeah. story.
So I can totally relate with that disassociation. In fact, I think that's how I started to become more aware that that I was doing that. Just to not be in the moment. It's a trigger response for sure, like a trauma response. Because trauma is, in fact, very complex. And so we don't realize that the things that we do and that we are doing is actually sabotaging any kind of progress. And we hold on to things, we call them attachments. But so we hold on to these familiar things for safety, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that may be, whatever it's different for everybody. It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, shopping, people, relationships, mm-hmm. you name it. Sometimes they're not exactly addictions, but they're a temporary fix.
Yeah, it's like I call it, I learned this very early, instant gratifications, mm-hmm. you know, like we all do it in different forms, you know. I've jumped around. I've shared that in a few on episode 3, I think, regarding my experience with understanding what alcohol was one. Codependency is a huge one for society. I think most humans are codependent. And which it falls into dissociation because dissociation is like you're getting, I want to share real quick before you jump in, because we're huge on this part. Me and you have this big, like, conversations. We've shared the symptoms in case for you guys that are in this audience listening. Symptoms of dissociation disorder is feeling disconnected from yourself and the world around you. To forgetting about certain time periods, events, mm-hmm. and personal information. And sometimes I've done that. That's mm-hmm. actually one of them. I actually am working on it currently.
Yes, that's huge.
Currently. Like, what event?
When did that happen?
Whose birthday?
Oh, yes.
Or you get dissociated by overworking, workaholic. Mm. I was big on that. I'm telling you, I've jumped around to not look inward. That's the thing, like, as avoiding to avoiding, go inward for sure.
Avoidance.
And feeling uncertain about who you are. Mm. For is having multiple distinct identities.
Ooh.
I think I've done it. Like, not like you have all this multiple personality. It's just the identities of you create mask.
Yes, you hide behind different characters for sure.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's cool. I mean, once you're conscious, you like, you play the role. But what this is saying out loud for me, having multiple distinct identities is like when certain groups, I look back, in my early 20s, I think I would shift, like, personalities. Like, certain groups, like, I wouldn't fit in. Mm-hmm. And that's very common, even starting at school. Like, to look cool, to be cool, yeah. to feel accepted. And you betray yourself.
Right, because then you don't even know who you are.
At that point, yeah.
Yes.
And, we talked about how... As acknowledging there's most families, I will say everybody has secrecy.
Yeah.
Because we're so afraid showing who we truly are.
Right.
And so a lot of self-rejection, self-betrayal. Mm-hmm. 5 is feeling a little or not, feeling little or no physical pain. Feeling little or no physical pain.
Like our waitress
pain.
Today, she said, I'm dead. Inside. And a lot of us can relate, you know, because we feel like we've been through so much that there's no way possible, like,
yeah.
we have any more feeling.
Yeah, it's as soon, you know, I read this and it says, you guys understand this, you may feel disconnected from yourself and the world around you. You feel detached from your body.
Mm-hmm.
Or feel as though the world around you is unreal. And yeah. you can create that as a child. Yes. Like if you're in a very traumatic household.
Correct. If it's unstable or if there's abuse happening, it's easy to get lost in that for sure.
Yeah. Wow.
I think it happens to all of us at some point.
Absolutely. I mean, how can you feel that connection with you, looking those versions of yourself and how you dissociated? And
yeah, so I want to say that so when that does happen, it most likely means that you're living the life that you don't want to be living. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're kind of just going with the motions, through the motions. You're not truly free. It's not, I know it's not about like happiness or whatever, but if you're truly in a situation where you feel stuck, stagnant, and just not free to be who you want to be, we tend to go through all those motions, you know, to disassociate and not deal with the actual reality or try to fix it because it seems impossible or just hard to get out of, and change things, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, it seems so hard when you're already exhausted, when you're already giving your all, when you're already like putting others, especially for moms, their children and their household first, you know, and never truly addressing the inner work that needs to be done. And we keep suppressing it and suppressing it. And as women, what I've noticed is that because we suppress it for so long, it starts to become something bigger in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And it shows up as a autoimmune disease or a
different illnesses,
mental,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Mental health, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's huge, especially right now. And so what I've noticed about my own process is that speaking out about it helps, because, you know, you might mention it to a friend and she can relate or know somebody or know something. And that's, in fact, how my journey kind of started, is in Carla's chair, getting my hair done, you know, just kind of relating to some of the stuff that she had been going through, or her clients, you know. And yeah, and so you start asking questions and you start realizing what's true, what's not true. How do I, you just become curious, you know, and you're like trying to break those inequities that, you know, you're holding on to. But you're like you said, you just disassociate and rather not even face it because it just seems so hard.
Yes, it is definitely, and this, the healing path, you guys, like, I would say for me, sometimes one of the symptoms, you want to be alone, when you start waking up to your path of healing. You feel quite shitty most of the time. Mm-hmm. You judge yourself a lot, for mothers, for men. It goes almost like hand in hand in regarding their worth, not feeling enough. We tend to project a lot external of our inner world into the world. Like, we start reflecting, like, we thinking, like, oh my God, just because you're going through it, you think everybody's going through it. Or sometimes you feel that the judgment comes, like, one of the common ones in society I see is like, if they are focused in somebody else's business and avoiding their own, like, that's another dissociation. Like, you're avoiding facing yours. So you focus on the shadows of others, and you judge it. You put other people down, you hate on them. And that's a human part of us that we, when you start observing that, and your healing path, you are, to redirect that energy towards yourself again. So you can see, why am I doing, like, you can ask, why am I doing that? Why am not, that's the time when I need to make time for me and take care of me and look inward and see what I need to process. If others are living however they want to live and your focus in that reality versus yours, you're literally avoiding, like, big time. You're avoiding to face your shadows, avoiding to look into your skeletons, your demons, however you want to label it. You're avoiding your own shadow. And I was able to see clearly during my plant medicine that that's scary, because in your ego state, it looks scary to go in those journeys. And with when you go in those dimensions of yourself, you start seeing, wow, why I keep, I see it. I can clearly now see it, why I'm avoiding it, you know, because I am refusing to accept those parts of myself, those fragments, and we judge it. And so when it's and a judgment that we're looking into, we're having those moments of realization as well that other people are also going through those dark shadows. And once, for me, accepting those shadows of myself, that's good. I had more compassion for people, even more than I was naturally compassionate. So with that, I know that a lot of people can resonate in that aspect. Like when you judge yourself, or you're going to project that and start judging others. But you're not intentionally like, oh, you're so ugly. It's just like, isn't there been like people that like they can't take compliments? Like I was one of those, like I couldn't say mm-hmm. like, I know. I'm like, oh, and then like you kind of like don't want to accept it because you have a shadow that you can't see your own beauty, your own potentials. You see everybody's potential except yours, and so on and on and on. So that's like, we call that quote unquote low self-esteem. But in reality, because you don't know yourself, part of the dissociation, you don't know who you are. The very common one is like, you discover yourself again mm-hmm. in this journey. How is it for you and discovering these versions? I mean, you're going to keep discovering new versions of yourself because you're going to continue to evolve.
Right. It's, yeah. The but, healing journey is not linear. Like we were talking earlier, it's, there's no like finish, you know, you're not going to one day be like, oh, I finished my healing program.
I graduated.
Yes. No, you're always going to be, you know, on a somewhat journey of healing. But yes, what it looks like is exhausting. It is exhausting. It's messy. It can be lonely. It can be all those things. You know, we all can experience it once we start. But holding on to the old habits, I think, would be my big one, is because, again, it just seems familiar and you're like, there's no way that this could possibly be that bad for me.
we learn to excuse them all.
Exactly. Like we make excuses and then we lie to ourselves, which is the worst, because it's the worst when yeah. we're not honest with ourselves. But as soon as you start being true to yourself is when the actual healing process starts, when we're not in denial anymore, you know. And it's truly
like with, I mean, for me, it's another one of the topics, you guys, is like we get, I know I always normally laugh a lot, but this topic is yeah. like not that it's so serious or anything. It's fun. Like healing is fun, you guys. It's not like so dramatic.
We are so dramatic.
But as human beings, like we take this whole life thing so serious. Like we
right.
we get so regimented. Like there's different realities, not judging the realities, but my observation of even with myself and other times I've been, and I have to call myself out and like, you need to relax, Carla. But able to see that other people's reality, they get extremely caught in so much drama.
Yeah.
Like they it's an activation of their body because they're so dysregulated with their nervous system. They have to have drama in their life. If there's no drama happening, it's like something's not right.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That's isn't crazy. That crazy? Like they're almost, they re-traumatize that nervous system again to mm-hmm. be triggered.
And they stay in a cycle.
Yeah. And so it keeps going and going. And it goes on because that's the only way they feel heard, seen, and possibly valued, I think. For me, I, you know, if we were in relationships and they were not a little bit chaotic, he does not love me. Like there's, you know, like there's so many narratives that happen in our mind when you're so dysregulated. Your mind is like, because that's really what comes down to. It's your mind that triggers, and then you're, because part of that subconscious, and your whole nervous system gets activated again to that dysregulated nervous system. And because that trauma is still in your body. Mm-hmm. So it's like activates it again in different ways. Adrenaline rush is very common, like creating like mm-hmm. Situations are dangerous.
Yes. Isn't like that shoplifting?
Yeah.
Or crimes. Yeah. Petty crimes or
petty crimes, yeah.
Or even self-mutilating, you
know? Yes. All self-harm, self-infliction. I did that for a minute. My couple first tattoos that were that. There was times when I was so anxious and that I would want to, I think I need a piercing like that. And it's not like I wanted to escape. I just needed to feel that like stimulation.
That feeling.
Yeah. Because everything was cool, right? Yes. I was cool in that time. And so because it was so cool, like somewhere in my subconscious, I wanted something inflictive.
Wow.
And now I understand. I was not in self-inflictor. I wasn't that child that was cutting myself or anything. That was more early 20s. And so when I observe regarding some stories of younger generations that cut themselves, you know, there's the cutter community. I mean, it's a serious thing, obviously. I know obviously, we chuckle,
it's
but
not a joke. It's definitely...
Yeah, but it's like it becomes a community because I think there's even like, what they call it, those black websites that basically there's groups that support each other through.
Oh,
that.
Really?
It's like an emo kind of thing. We probably have to look into that.
But that's just a way of coping for them?
Yeah, that's definitely a way of coping. And there's like a support system of that because they understand, like, I know you're pain, kind of like that.
Wow.
But their method for them is to self-inflict. And so... if anybody of you guys are listening to this, like, you know, we see you. Like, this is another forum for us, a platform to connect with all communities.
No judgment.
No judgment whatsoever. But it's wild that there's so many different communities in with human beings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Human beings are definitely, we're into groups. And once you feel connected with them, you know, mm-hmm. like gangs.
That's yeah, we're meant to be like in communion,
yeah.
or something, and so we naturally want to bond,
yeah, and feel like they're family, right?
Yes.
And for me, that's just how it is with our community, like the Healing Path communities. It's in a form understanding that we all been in through those experiences of pain and attachments, dissociations, mental health. That it has taken people to have panic attacks. And once you come into the community of healing through either plant medicine, toad medicine, sound healing, kambo, it's a medicine. There's so many. Even smoking ganja, you know, marijuana, in better words, it's communities, you know, the cannabis community is big now, like, and there's big advocates. I'll be honest, I'm an advocate because that's a plant medicine as well. And so you see how we are as human beings, like we naturally want to be in community. And when those communities that see each other, that you're going through pain and they understand it. And so anybody that hears this, find a community that will support your healing instead of harming yourself.
Or others,
to be honest, because that's another form.
We may not notice that we're hurting others, but
consciously in unconscious. So yeah, you're 100%, because mm-hmm. I never thought of that. I feel like I'm getting a download right now. Like when you hurt others, it's a form like hurting yourself.
Yeah.
And understanding for me, the interconnections of us, we understand we are one with God, yeah. One with the universe, one with the animals, one with the nature, everything, you know, it brings us back to Avatar movie.
Mm-hmm. We are created in his image, so.
Yes, we're creating his image, and you see his image in every reflection of him or her. No gender. God is all one of it, you know, the wholeness. And when you start seeing it in that expansion, like, you honor anything like that is in this earth. We're visitors of this earth, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're energies that were placed here with and in love. That's the big thing that separates us even from everything else that's living on this planet, is that we are able to love and be loved. And so the journey, it's really just a process of falling in love, back in love with yourself. And so that's what I'm currently learning right now, is the different energies that we carry. It doesn't define who we are. You know, if we were hurt at once and we still carry around that hurt, it doesn't mean that we have to continue to carry it. It doesn't mean that we have to pass it to our kids. It doesn't mean that we have to hurt others. We can break those cycles and we can break those chains, and it starts by, like you said, looking inward and falling in love again with yourself. And it does sound mopey, and it sounds like a depressive, you know, topic or whatever, and it really isn't. It
becomes interesting, and like in no ways, like, it's fun. There's times when you're just like, what was I crying about that, like, for such a long time? Because you start realizing, like, the illusion that you're attached to of that experience for so long, mm-hmm. mentally, that you always had to, like, again earlier, reactivate that part of our body to feel the trauma, mm-hmm. unconsciously. And even though our behaviors can reflect, you know, and you observe them with no judgment, and you're like, oh, wow, like, I see it now.
Mm-hmm.
And then before, you couldn't, you were acting upon any kind of behaviors or patterns, like overdoing, again, overeating, over not eating, you know, everything, you know, your connection with your own relationship with yourself. It's really comes back to you, like you said. It's falling in love with yourself
again. Yeah.
Yeah. It's truly like people in my experience, Jessica, like being, going to different communities of church, I've been in good house of worships. And but in my observation, in my own experience, and if whoever can relate with this, not everybody can relate because it's different realities, right? Mm-hmm. So once you understand that, you don't compare, like, well, I never experienced that. Mm-hmm. What is she talking about? Like, no, this is only if you felt in that kind of way of why I want to connect to this higher power, right? Because I want to feel the love. I want to feel accepted. And we want to see that this higher person, separate from me, accepts me. And he was willing to die for my sins. Right now we talk about Jesus. And for the believers, whoever, what belief system you believe, but to accept this power that you believe, right? This God. But you're still rejecting yourself. You still see yourself as a sinner. And yes, we can still see that.
The flesh.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't define me. I'm here having this experience of a human being. I don't have to know or have the figured it out formulation. I just know I am love. I am love.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves me. So once you understand and grasp that with forgiveness, you let go of the illusion of I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm. And that you need grace.
Yes.
Because you already
have
grace. It's already been given to
you. It's been given to you.
Yeah.
But we get so attached to this condemning myself, you know, it's mm-hmm. kind of like, if I don't do this, I will go to hell. If I don't do that, I'm going to hell. That itself, it's trauma.
It's a prison.
It's a prison, mental prison.
Emotional.
Yes. And you're still bringing that worth back to yourself. Like, that judgment. I'm not good enough of human, pretty much. Mom, partner, sister, citizen of the world. Like, I'm not good enough. You never feel good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we are more than enough. We are loved.
Mm-hmm.
We are love. And we're loved.
Yes.
And that takes time to reach there, to be honest. And I said before, don't compare your healing process. If I, like, some of you can say, I don't feel that yet, Carla.
That's okay.
That's okay. Because it takes time to let go of the programming of hurt and the attachment of the stories that you went through of your childhood. Probably the trauma that you're carrying on from projections of your family, from your parents, grandparents, and so on and on and on. Now you are in a space where you're going to be, oh my God, this has been repetitive, passed down.
Mm-hmm.
So now you understand that we all got caught in that attachment of story. And so you live it and you don't know no other way. Breaking those habits are fucking hard.
But they're necessary.
Yes. And how you break, this is the how part factor. You know, there's different groups of healing, you know, communities, again, of Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Food Addict Anonymous, Sex Anonymous. Yeah, I mean, you can go on in so many communities to break those habits. What it is required is to dedicate yourself to your relationship to you.
Mm-hmm. With yourself.
Your commitment to you. You can't be committed to no one else if you can't be committed to you.
Amen.
You can't be committed to God. So you say you're a believer, right? And when you're breaking your own commitment with yourself, And that's why dissociation is a big hot topic for us, because mm-hmm. the moment you reconnect back, and that's what I've learned. I mean, I've learned in relearning more and the unlearning part, that all this programming, it just harmed me more because I still kept dissociating.
Yeah.
Even now, again, it doesn't matter what practice you do. If you dissociate, even in the healing path, and you just lose your mind, because people can be in church and lose themselves in church.
Wow.
And ministry.
Oh, yeah.
Neglect their family, neglect themselves. In the spiritual communities, you can be a yogi. But if your life, if you're not dedicating that time for yourself, you're going to start dissociating again through escaping and wow. losing yourself again. And the things that you have right in front of you, like, it's helping them. But everything that you're giving them, you're not giving it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So then again, it goes back to that. So the moment you have awareness, I think for me, is that being conscious and aware where your energy is given. Because the moment you start depleting yourself, that's the moment you start dissociating, you disconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God, the universe, is. We are in relationship together, but you are the first relationship with yourself. So you can be in connection with everyone else, because you will disconnect yourself from God.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how much you pray, but if you're not loving yourself, that's the part what I've said before in my past. I used to tell my mom, how can you say you love God when you don't know how to love yourself? That's hard.
Yeah.
And because I seen it in her journey, that how much she's dissociated herself
mm-hmm.
through serving in ministry.
Wow.
And prayed for everybody. But that was another form for her to escape her mm-hmm. reality of herself, her inward, her trauma. Yeah. And so that's what I mean with understanding that connection with yourself is so important. And
yeah.
this healing path, it's learning to love yourself again.
Yes.
And that you will share that energy with people in your circle more mindfully, you know,
yeah.
with a lot of love and understanding.
Yes. And another thing that I think is important for your listeners to know is everything that has happened to you was supposed to happen.
Mm.
Not because you deserve it or a form of punishment, but because it's the only way for you to wake up and be aware of who you are. And just fall in love with yourself.
Mm.
You know? A lot of the times, the reasons why we have these traumas and we hold on to them is because someone or something hurt us at some point.
Mm.
Right? And it truly did hurt us to the core. And, like, we truly cannot move on. And when something reminds us of that pain, whether it's sound, feeling, words, people, place, whatever, we go back to that place, you know. And but when we do go back to that place, we just need to remember, like, okay, I'm going to feel this because it's real,
mm-hmm.
and then let it go, and then move forward and move on, one step at a time, one day at a time, you know, one thought at a time.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because especially when you get overly mentally stimulated.
Exactly.
Everybody processes things differently. And that's why, like, again, I like to repeat this. We can compare our journeys, because some people process things way different. Some people process it quicker. They're easy to let it go because they probably went through that hurdle in the beginning. And so you're like, oh man, they move on forward real quick. Like, how can you move forward after they went through that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, that was a tough one. And how I'm having a hard time going through this. And feels like it's taking a year to process all this. And it's like, it's, you don't know their story, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't, like, behind the door. Behind,
yeah, you never know behind never. Closed doors.
Yeah.
It's a different story.
Story. And so that's huge, yes. You know, letting go of comparison.
Another thing that I wanted to share that I've recognized is the mind and the body alignment. And so our bodies are wired so perfectly for us to heal, right? Mm. Our bodies constantly try to heal ourselves, like our thoughts and our processes. And of course, we don't understand it. We are often confused, mm-hmm. like, why am I feeling like this, or why am I thinking this? It could be a lot of things, but I'm a big supporter in internal cleanses.
Mm.
I recently discovered that you can indeed have parasites inside of you. You can be hosting lots of different things that will leave you in a suppressed state, you know? And so just getting those things out, looking into cleansing your body first.
Yes.
And then your mind will be to follow, because you'll have so much clarity.
Yes.
And you'll understand, like, why the process is the way it is. And once you have that understanding, it's easier to have more grace for yourself and identify the things that we are doing that are actually indeed holding us back.
And yeah. So cleansing, it's been huge. I know that you haven't done Kembo, but you've done already a lot of that parasite cleansing, mm-hmm. and stuff. And I know I've grew up hearing about that, you know, and actually my mom will, she will say, don't eat that, or gusanos en tu estomago, like gusanos,
like, yeah.
But that meant worms. Like
yeah, we grew up, here. Our parents would tell us that we would have worms in our stomach, and we didn't even take that seriously. We didn't even know what that meant.
But I guess that's gusanos, it's the parasites, and they do, like, they look right. Like little worms.
Their parents.
Once I looked at it at Google, I Googled it. And I saw the images and I was like, oh, shoot, they do look like.
It's not cute.
It's not cute, guys. If you're new to this parasite thing, because believe me, I know there's some people out there just like me. We're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Gusanos? There are real gusanitos.
Yeah.
Because we do have good bacteria. You know, that's why it's good to have probiotics and take that. And like taking all these healthy things.
Yeah,
to keep
gut health is super important.
So important. And again, guys, because when you suppress a lot of emotions,
mm-hmm.
and re-traumatize, and you have the suppression of emotions getting stored in your body, you're going to start creating those, you're going to start attracting those little creatures more,
mm-hmm.
Because they feed off you.
Yes.
That's physical parasites, you guys. And future podcasts, we will talk about energetic parasites.
There's so much info out there.
You guys, I'm not even kidding. And if you're new, again, to this experience, and you bump into my podcast, or you know me, or know Jessica, and you are sharing this information to other people, please do, because that is sharing awareness. And because I see it as appreciation that the other person, once they hear this episode, and you're like, what the hell, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially the younger generation, they're so like eating hot Cheetos for breakfast and dinner and lunch, you know, like they don't realize how much eventually that will catch up in your life, and not taking care of your gut.
Yeah.
Don't wait, guys. Don't wait until the doctor tells you to take care of yourself.
Right. Until you have like physical symptoms of something's not right.
This is the part when you betray yourself, not going to get checkup. go get your regular checkups just for your information. If you're a person that does not trust science or whatever, or you're not a big time, like, I don't even go when I'm sick, you know, because I just go to Target and get this, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing a physical, it's a form of act of love. You want to make sure you're, you know, I need to up to date. Like, I need to know what's going on. Like, do I need vitamin D?
Yeah. Most magnesium. Of us do. Yeah. Minerals. We're mineral deficient.
That helps D. you to have a guidance. Yeah.
Yes, there's so many, and I'm not an expert or a doctor or anything, but
yeah, we're not experts, you guys. So, I mean, we're just here encouraging, you know, mm-hmm. please, like, even if you want to go to a homeopathic, right?
Yeah.
And what other kind of holistic, anything holistic,
holistic also? Doctors, regular doctors.
Yes, regular doctors, whatever you feel comfortable that they can help you diagnose anything that you can take care of now.
Yeah.
And not wait. I know we get fearful when it comes to bad news, but that's also a trauma symptom. Like, that's a part of, like, you don't want to hear the bad news because you want to dissociate it.
Yes. We don't want to deal
with... We don't want to deal. You're avoiding. Yeah. That's the avoidance. Avoiding that. Oh shit, you know, I have diabetes, you know, high blood pressure,
colon cancer.
It's like, you guys, this is so important. There's so many things out there that you can prevent now, sooner the better. I am a big time, like, I shouldn't leave things. Like, that was one physical awakening for me, that when I had blood clots in 2018, I waited almost close to 2 months until I checked, and I had a rude awakening there of how I could have died.
Oh no.
I was like, whoa,
this is serious.
Blood clot, it was no joke. Like, my doctor said, you're not going nowhere. And to this point and to this time, me looking back, I already have integrating that version of Carla back then, because she was going through a lot of emotions. And so her way of not even facing that, I didn't want to face anything. Like, I'm fine. It's probably a spasm. It was on my leg, on my right leg. And I was like, oh God, I'm okay. You know? And that version of Carla back then, it was like, stop being a little. Okay. I don't want to say the word. Don't be a little puss. You know, don't be a chicken shit. Just fine. You're fine. Start, you know, being a tough cookie, you know, and just, you know, being superhero with myself. But I didn't want to face it. Whatever it was, I guess it was unconsciously doing it. But those are the things that showed me, like, how much I've betrayed myself, even mm-hmm. in the physical form, neglecting symptoms. Our body will let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up, we're choosing not to acknowledge our body.
Yeah, so that's a good self-love thing to do. What are some other things that we can do to show love for ourselves that you suggest?
Anything else you would like to share, Jessica, about our path and journey? And also, too, guys that who are tuning, please, below, you can always message me or Jessica. I will put our information, and if you feel safe to connect with us, and we're more than welcome, right, Jessica? And mm-hmm. you're not alone. And even if you need a guidance of what direction, how to approach your healing path and what direction you want to go, if they're natural plant medicine, mm-hmm. Or even I know many space holders that they will hold space for you, and I'm one of them. I only facilitate rapé. I serve Rappe, and that's to kind of help you start off, you know, if you're in this path. It's very gentle. It just cleanses you, blocks you energetically, and you instantly feel relief to see clarity.
Mental clarity
for sure. And from there, you can decide whatever path you want to go. Either you want to do sound healing, do therapy, holistic therapy. There's a lot of holistic therapy out there nowadays, which I'm super grateful. And be in a place where you can probably be ready for plant medicine or do some toad medicine. I can also give directions regarding that. But for you, Jessica, I mean, anything else you would like to say or express?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, for any fellow veterans out there who struggle or are struggling with their mental health and their trauma, just know that you can reach out and get help. The help is out there. You don't even have to go find it, really. You just have to, how do you put it? Like, your energy will receive it when you're like processing it mentally most of the time. And if you're feeling hopeless or stuck or crushed, it's okay to fall off. It's okay to get lost. It's okay to get curious. That's how you usually find the best things in life anyway. You might be in a relationship that you don't want to be in, or a job that you don't want to be at, or whatever walk of life you're in and you're currently just truly feeling stuck day in, day out, not knowing how to get out. Just know that there is a way out and there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Life does get better. It's a beautiful, beautiful life. And that's all I wanted to share.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. I know that we vaguely scratched regarding your military time, and then how in that transition, you know, you said that got married and whatnot, and that's what many things that you experience, we possibly will even share more, because this won't be the last time either, bringing her on board regarding talking topics about veterans or the experience that she experienced in the military, that she would share, you know, during the service. You most likely re-traumatize yourself.
Oh, I've already been there, done that.
Okay. Yeah, and it's fine. It's totally okay, guys. Like, once you start seeing, like, if you served or you are serving and you're catching yourself, like, because now that you're like, whoa, now that they brought this topic, you know, yeah, we do that. And military was a good escape for you.
Mm-hmm. It was it was an escape for the current trauma that I was currently in. Yes, it very much so was. But then that in itself created a whole different trauma that it was not combat related. Thank God. But it might as well would have, should have been. You know, trauma's trauma, whatever. Trauma's
trauma, whatever, you know, it is. Because it, the experience is just the experience. But how the body receives it.
Correct.
It's the same.
It's stored in a file that you just don't want to ever open again. But it's there, right? Whatever that trauma is, guys, it could be verbal. It could be sexual. It could be physical, non-physical. Intimidating, I mean, you name it. If you feel like you were personally attacked and you can't get over it or past it, then you have trauma. And it does get better. You can actually heal from it. One trauma in particular that I'm very passionate about with military women is sexual trauma. It's huge. It's bigger than we can imagine. And it's not talked about as much as it should be, you know? And I know there's support groups out there now, and and there's tons of support.
Yeah, a lot of advocates. Yeah.
Yeah. For active military.
Active military.
And there is also help available for inactive military, like veterans or as well, that's available through the VA. But you can only go so much with certain traditional methods of healing. You know, not everything works for everyone because everyone's different. But this form of medicine that I'm learning, the meditation, the plant medicine, the microdosing, the self-love and serving to others, is one that it has a bad taboo attached to it.
Yeah.
It's a negative attachment that people think it's like witchcraft, or it's not, it's unholy, or it's a unchristian-like, or whatever is attached to it. Prevents people from exploring.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
You're like, what?
You're not truly free if you can't go out and find what works for you, you know?
Absolutely. One formula, like, again, like, and I always said it, it doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't believe ayahuasca's for everybody. I don't believe UFO or sapito is not for everybody. That's one of my favorite, you guys, toad medicine. But I know that, and mind you, we're not even, haven't even explored yet other, like, medicines out there, you know, that peyote, I microdosed peyote, but I haven't done, like, in a ceremonial way. There's so many
that have been around for years.
They're
not new.
No, it's definitely, the cactus ones are amazing medicines that also in the parts of Mexico they serve, you know. It's wild in Central America as well. And the more you know, there's stuff in Africa, and there's tons of medicine out there that as soon as they label it as a drug, it's labeled as a bad thing in your mind, because we're that generation that we were told that anything that is hallucinogenics or will take you on a journey, it's bad. Again, it's not meth. It's not heroin, you guys. It's not Vicodin. It's not pills, narcotics. You guys, this is natural from nature, not man-made. The ceremony are sacred, and they're meant to be in a sacred form of a circle. So you are in connection with each other, and it's beautiful, you know. And again, we'll continue to discuss these topics because this is what I'm currently in. And as I evolve, I don't feel that I will need these experiences of my journeys forever. They're my current tools. Just letting you guys know, FYI, as you're evolving, as you're shedding in your healing path, you're going to let go of things that no longer serve you. Including plant medicine.
And people. And the list goes on. We're always changing. Relationships change. We change. Our taste buds change. Everything. Our thoughts.
That's why not forever is forever. Exactly. Because as you're evolving. And once you, of course, you know, you come to terms to understand that. And if you're not there yet, it's okay. Or grasp it all the way 100% to your this level where you at consciously, it's that you will, as soon you keep shedding those layers of yourself, those versions of yourself that no longer serve you, you're going to start feeling lighter, peaceful, calmer, and living in your present time.
And guess what?
Guess what?
Those sheddings that you're shedding, someone can use those as a catalyst for their journey.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Just FYI, guys, we're all become catalysts.
It's the topic of our podcast. We're catalysts.
And if you understand what is catalyst?
A catalyst is something that, what's that word? It takes you, it gives you like a push.
Mm-hmm.
Not a push, but oh my gosh, I have it in my mind. I just can't put it into words. But it's basically from the term the catapult, where they put an object in the basket on one side of the freaking piece of wood. It's after dark.
It's after dark, you guys. We are actually doing this podcast, yes, at after dark. And thank you for still being in this episode with us, still talking about what is a catalyst. Can someone be a catalyst, you guys? Just real quick before we wrap it up, but when you understand what you become a catalyst, it's a person or a thing that precipitates an event or change.
Ooh.
Is imprisonment by the government served as a catalyst that helped transform, as an example, of social unrest into the revolution? A person whose talk enthusiasm.
You're talking about Hitler?
I'm like, wait a minute. What is this, guys?
What are we talking about?
You guys are going to be like, what are you guys smoking? We ain't smoking nothing. I'm drinking my kombucha and she's drinking H2O. So a catalyst is literally and a person that is the motivation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the person who's going to basically help you, like give you a little head start, if you would say, like kind of just throw you closer to where, like the starting line, basically. Because initially you do have to start your own journey yourself.
Oh, yes, it's almost like what I'm saying is a catalyst is the opportunity of possibility. So of stepping into that rather than cycling around or going backwards. So you're moving, you're the catalyst that helps to move something that forward. It was forward, that was stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, it's crazy?
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
What I was like,
we are.
Yeah, we are a catalyst. You guys will understand that as you move forward in your journeys, that you will be, or some people in your life will come and help you be that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the gratitude. And the gratitude comes with, thank you for showing me that I needed to move forward on this. Thank you for, you came to terms to understand my lessons are learned through this experience. So therefore, you can be, or an outside person can be that for you. And it's beautiful. It's a thank you, I love you, I understand. Like, mm-hmm. This needed to happen because that was a lesson behind it.
Yeah.
Wow. Anything else?
That was a great way to wrap that up for sure. Yes. That's exactly what the purpose of this podcast is. It's, you know, for anyone who really just needs a catalyst, you know, because we all are stuck at some point in life, you know, we don't know which direction to go or where to start or who to talk to or whatever, but we all just need to start somewhere. And if we have someone in our life that is willing to be a catalyst with love,
yeah,
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. And I'm grateful for all the catalysts out there. shout out. Okay, so guys, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for sitting and listening, or if you're listening and working out or driving, going to work, commuting, traveling, and taking a walk, walking your dog, or just in your bed listening to us. Thank you. I appreciate you. And I see you in the next episode. Join us on Carla After Dark. Thank you, Jessica.
You're welcome.
Guys, keep drinking your water or anything that hydrates you at this point. Coconut water, kombucha. And thank you, guys. Much love. Namaste.
Bye.
Hey, my loves, thank you for joining me on this episode of Carla After Dark. If you enjoy this episode, please like and subscribe, share them, follow the link below. I'm looking forward to you joining me on my next episode. Thank you for your love. Namaste.